Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This edition of Spin the Rally Pod is brought to you in association with EA Sports WRC, Codemasters' biggest ever rally game. Game rallying gaming fans have been waiting for. Visit EA.com to find out more. Hello and welcome back to Dirtfish's weekly rallying podcast, Spin the Rally Pod. Today you join me, Luke Barry, with, I keep calling him a special guest. I say that too much, his ego might get a bit too inflated. It's Mr. John Armstrong. John, how are you?
I'm very well, Luke. Thank you very much for having me back on. And yeah, excited to talk about some of the new things coming to EA Sports WRC.
I was going to say, for those that aren't aware, and you probably are by now, John is, of course, a game designer for EA Sports WRC, the new official licensed game for the World Rally Championship, and the man responsible for plenty of us losing many of our evenings playing this game, having far too much fun. But John, I guess quickly before we get into today's exciting topic, just how much fun have you've been having now that this game is out in the public? You spent so long developing it, but now you actually yourself are seeing everybody's reactions to it. It must be quite special.
Yeah, definitely. It's been, you know, really positive. The community and players' reaction, you know, everyone seems to be having a great time, and that's, you know, down to the core experience, but also these the new features that we've added for EA Sports WRC. There's many things that we've wanted to do in the past that we weren't able to, and for this game we've been able to offer some unique experiences to the players, so it's been going really, really well. And for sure I've been enjoying a couple of late evenings getting involved as well, playing online and with a few people, and also really enjoying the moments feature, you know, getting to drive through some of those historic moments. And it's just such a great mode to just jump in really quickly, to have something that's generated for you that you can play, and it's so much fun to experience.
Speaking of moments, actually, and this is already in danger of having a sidetrack to start with, but we'll go with it. I was playing Your Moment from Rally Sweden the other day, and unless I've misread the time, because there is a video on Dirtfish's YouTube channel where you talk everybody through moments, I might have beaten your time, John, by 0.7 of a second. But I wasn't speaking to a camera. But I'm just pointing that out, because if everybody's seen the other video that we've done with the guys from EA Sports WRC and how much quicker John was than me, I'm just marking my improvement. Practice makes perfect, everyone. That's all I'm saying.
That's impressive. Well, obviously you're getting better. Because, I think that was a pretty clean run from me. So, yeah. Well done.
I'll take it.
Yeah, I can't give you too much abuse anymore. It's just, if you beat me, you beat me.
Well, in fairness, I was back in my more familiar gamepad setup. For me, I'm sure I could go quicker if I really put the practice in on a wheel, but that was far too much tech for somebody with my limited ability. But anyway, John, we'll get more into the focus of today's podcast. And I must admit, throughout the many hours I've been playing this game, the one thing I haven't thought is, my word, I need another location. There's 17 already to play through, but we're getting one. Central European Rally is coming.
It is indeed, and it's something, you know, that we've been working on for a while now in the background. You know, that the game's been now released, we've been working on this extra location, which is, you know, represents one of the official rounds of the 2023 WRC calendar. Central European Rally, it's quite unique because it's another tarmac rally, but it's different in character to the ones we have in game currently. There's a bit more bumps and jumps to it. The terrain is, yeah, generally a lot different in terms of the road width and how open some sections feel. You can really get into an amazing flow. So, yeah, I think it's something the players are gonna really enjoy. It's something different to what's in the game currently, and that's something brilliant that we can add a location that is a slightly different experience than what's currently there.
I was going to say, I've just suddenly started thinking, and you can definitely correct me if I'm wrong with this, but I make it pre-CER. Is it five tarmac events are currently there? If you count, I guess Monty is mainly tarmac in this game, isn't it? So, what, Monty, Croatia, Japan, and I forget what their names are, but
Mediterranean.
thank you. See, I in my head, right, I just call it Corsica and Spain. I'll be very honest with you. I'll be very honest. But yeah, there's that, and is it Iberica or Iberico, whatever it is. So
Yeah, so that will make it six if you
six.
count Monty, yeah.
And all five of those are very different, as you say. And I think Monty's caught me out actually about just because I think everybody associates Monte Carlo with all the hairpin bends and stuff, and there are elements of that. But there's some really fast, bumpy sections in there as well. Croatia, I think, is its own challenge. Japan, incredibly narrow. Mediterranean, difficult as anything, really difficult. Any mistake and you are punished badly
There's rocks waiting everywhere,
everywhere. Yeah, it's horrible. I think it's most things. I think I was doing, maybe it was a moment I was playing actually. It honestly took me about 10 attempts just to make it through without crashing.
Ah, so that's how you get your good times, is 10 attempts.
Well, I'll say I actually had a bit of stick for this from Elliot, our cameraman, as well. But I said it was honestly, I swear down my moments in Sweden, it was a one hit wonder that. First take or first try. Anyway, I'll stop talking about that. It's a little bit pathetic there, isn't it? But the point I was trying to get to is you mentioned it there, but CER again, I think anybody that saw the rally in real life will know that it was a very specific challenge, very different to other events, and it sounds like you've managed to replicate that in game. What kind of challenge, what kind of stages specifically, without giving maybe too much away, can players expect to find within CER in this game?
So, we always really want to make sure we represent the real life location. So, what the first step is always to get the research for different routes, different possible routes that we could choose. And the one that we have is actually based in the Czech Republic, in the region of where the rally was in that country. Of course, Central European Rally has three different countries involved, but we had to choose one, and I think the Czech Republic gives a really good variation of roads. What we've seen from the real life coverage was very fast stretches of road, very wide in some places, and then you sometimes turn through numerous junctions into more narrow sections through villages or forests. And I'm really pleased that what we chose to represent is exactly what you see in real life. It gives you that same feeling and experience and roadmap. It's a 32-kilometer stretch of stage in the forward and reverse direction. So we're adding a lot of kilometers here, and it's a big challenge to get through, especially because it's such a high-speed track where you have to manage your pace and keep, maintain a pace through all the high speed sections, but then there'll no doubt be a tight corner just waiting for you at the end of that. So it's really concentrating and listening to the pace notes and looking out for those challenges ahead. And as I mentioned earlier, it's a location that has jumps on tarmac, which is something we don't really have in the other locations. So it's trying to place your car correctly over the jumps. And unlike gravel, when you jump a car on tarmac, the landing is a bit more twitchy to handle. The window of control, as I like to sort of describe it, is a lot smaller. On gravel, you're able to sort of let the car slide out, and you can play with it a bit more. But on tarmac, the window of grip is a lot smaller, and it's easy to go over the slip. And lose control. So you have to be very, very precise. And that's true also for your driving style. So you really have to be very precise with your steering inputs. You have to have small but quick inputs, and whenever you turn into the corner, you want to turn in very smoothly and then open the steering gradually as you go past the apex to the exit. So it's very easy to be too aggressive and maybe have the wrong rhythm. And because it's a fast location, quite flowing, it has a very open feel to it as well in some places, you know, where you know, you've got maybe an open field on one side and then a crop field on the other side. It feels very open, and you have the opportunity to really let the car run to the edge of the road, as you don't really have, like, I wouldn't say you don't have obstacles, because there's plenty of things to hit, but it definitely gives you that feeling where you can really run the car to the edge of the road. And you know, sometimes you're using the inside of the corner to open the corner slightly, or you're running slightly wide. But one thing on tarmac also is you have to be careful when you do let the car run out wide on the exit of the corner, that you don't touch the grass too much, because it's a very slippery surface, especially when you're on tarmac tires. So you have to be careful that you don't just drop the rear wheel on the grass on the exit of a turn, and then you're just going to swap ends up the road. So yeah, it's I think it's a great experience. So we're just really excited now for players to see what they're going to be getting, and then finally getting their hands on it.
You've whet my appetite there, I'll give you that. That was very, I think this is a genuine skill that professionals have, is you manage to make rallying sound so artistically beautiful. And I think we can all, but if someone like me, it's pure just panic and try to get through what's in front of me. I don't have the capacity to actually think about everything and describe it in such a way. So that was really nice. I suddenly feel very, very, not that I wasn't intrigued already, but I feel very intrigued to see what's coming my way later this week when I get the game onto my machine. But if we can go backwards a little bit, John, if I may, and I appreciate you're one person of a very big team, so you probably can't tell us everything in regards to this, and maybe you can't, because you can't tell the world exactly everything and all your secrets. But what I'm quite interested in is just how do you guys create and replicate real life stages in a game? Because it sounds so simple to mere mortals. We can look at it and think, oh well, yeah, there's onboards, I think you can just make it. But how do you, can you talk us through the process of actually deciding what you want to include, replicating it, actually getting into a game? Because I'm imagining this isn't the work of a moment.
No, it's definitely years and years of experience, and you know, moving to the Unreal Engine has allowed this process to become more fluent, to speed up the process of creating each track. But what we essentially do is we start off with the research on the location and potential routes that we might do in that location. And with it being an official WRC game, we typically look at the routes that would be included year on year, you know, the stages, the famous stages that always seem to be included each year. Those are, let's say, the front runners whenever we start looking at potential stages. Of course, we create, you know, a short list of multiple stages. And the research for this is usually done through things like, you know, rally maps, WRC Plus for the onboards, to find where they are in the world. And yeah, what we're looking for here is something that's a really good, fun, exciting track for players. It's got good variation, and of course something that is really, you know, famous as well, that players will recognize when they see it.
I was going to say, because you mentioned it a couple times already, but you can't, as much as you maybe love to, you cannot include every single stage kilometer that was in real life. So you have to actually be selective about what kind of style you want, which I imagine is probably not, well, it probably is potentially a stressful process, isn't it? To me, again, looking from the outside, I think that must just be really fun. If that's your day at work, try to decide what rally stage you want to put in a game, it could be a lot worse. But I imagine that causes a few debates around the office and around the team that's working on this.
Yeah, it does. And I think, like I said, there's usually front runners, and then it's working with the WRC promoter and the rally organizer as well to figure out what they would like to include. We'll figure out what we feel is the best experience in terms of the stage, and then we'll go from there. We'll select a track, and then when we're getting the reference, we'll often, you know, hire external photographers to travel to the chosen routes and take as many photographic references as possible, and then we'll also use recce videos from some of my recce videos we'll use, which is really cool. Whenever it's a stage that I've done in recent years and I've got the recce footage, we can use that to help build the tracks, but also the, you know, the sheer volume of onboards on WRC or Rally TV, you know, that's really useful for us because we can see multiple angles, different drivers, we can see multiple passes of how the stage churns up and degrades. So that's incredibly useful as well for gathering the reference. But then, yeah, the next step is going and getting actual map data from Google Earth.
Is that what you use? Okay, that makes sense. But that's really interesting to learn that.
Yeah, well, basically the level designers, they're able to sort of map out the chosen route directly where that is in Google Earth, and then we can export that with all of the height data and geometry into the game. So that's really, really powerful for getting the landscape and everything correctly how it should be to the real world track. And then, yeah, it gives us a really good base to work from.
I guess it's the same with anything in anybody's line of work, but that must be so incredibly satisfying when all of these things come together and you've created this rally arena. I shouldn't call it an arena, should I? That's the first word that came to mind. But it's as authentic as you can get it. And I think the effort that goes in is probably by a lot of people underestimated. So I don't know if you know the answer to this, but we'll use CER specifically because that's the latest location you've added. This, obviously, I suspect, is particularly challenging because it was an all-new rally this year. It only ran at the end of October. But you've had to obviously try and get this in the game for this year's, because the game is based obviously on this year's WRC. So how long does this process take, roughly? Because to me, it sounds like it must take months. But are you able to do it quicker than that?
We can't do it quicker. You know, like I said, Unreal has allowed us to speed up the process, but it does take multiple months from start to finish to create a full location, just because of the individual steps involved. There's different departments involved, you know, the level designers, they start off making the steps that we just talked about. So you know, once they have a Google map data, then they're doing you know, a high level track pass where they will adjust the geometry of the track so it's got the correct height in the right places, you know, for the crests and jumps and things like that, and they'll do a lot of work on the actual road camber and road widths to make sure that, you know, when the road has a bit of positive camber, we've got all that represented correctly in game. And also the road width is something that I feel is overlooked but incredibly important for the experience of the stage, that you have, you know, the narrow sections feel really narrow, and then, you know, the wider roads that you have that variation. And then moving on from there, they'll start to add in more details like the dips and the camber, polish the camber a bit more. And then a crucial point is the environment artists who supply all of the, you know, the art, the textures, the trees, the walls, the houses, everything that dresses the environment to make it feel alive and make it feel like it represents that location. That's a really important step. And one thing that's included in that is the track edges. So how the track blends with the surrounding terrain or track edges. Every location has pretty much bespoke textures and assets throughout, so it's a lot of work to go and make all those assets, you know, the, let's say, the walls, the fences, the houses, everything, the grass, the trees. It's a lot of work, and yeah, but that's what pays off and makes the environment feel true to life. And yeah, it all starts to come together when that happens. And then of course there's things that we need to add, like reset lines, to sort of mark up where the player, if they've driven too far off track or they've crashed too far off track, that they get reset to track. Or it's sometimes we have terminal damage lines that sort of recreate, like if you've, you know, crashed off the side of a mountain and in real life there would be no way of coming back, then it sort of simulates that, yeah, you've went too far there, and you're not going to come back, so it's over for you. But
do you have that in EA Sports W? I couldn't tell you from experience about that, John. I've never gone off once, obviously.
Yeah, so, you've never triggered one of those. That's shocking. But yeah, it's something. It's always funny when you hit them, because on one hand it's like it can be a little bit frustrating because you're like, oh, I want to continue, but then on the other hand it's like, whoa, this is super realistic. Like, yeah, if I crashed there in real life, then I would have never been able to get back on the road. So yeah, it's something we have to balance, but it's really, really cool.
Yeah, I like it. I do like that. As I say, there are a couple where it maybe caught me by surprise at first. Like, oh, I've not gone that far off the road. But then when you see the replay and how far the car's gone down, you're like, yeah, that's not coming back.
You try to walk back to the road virtually, and you can't make it.
Yeah, that would do it. That would do it. But John, talking about this entire process of creating and implementing a location, because I've got you on the other end of the call, I'll ask you directly, I guess. What is your specific role in this entire process? What do you mainly look at when it comes to adding a new rally into a game?
One thing that I do is the pace notes, which we haven't really mentioned. So I will add the pace notes to each route, and that's just based on my vision of, yeah, making sure the pace notes are consistent and how they would be, you know, set up in real life. And throughout the game, the pace notes are all angle based, and yeah, you should be able to get a good feeling for how much the road is turning. So that takes a lot of work from my side to set up all the pace notes. It's one of the bigger areas of my job, so I enjoy doing that. But in terms of the process of building the tracks, I would say that each department is quite independent in what they do. They do a really good job of it, like, and they have so much experience. But what I will do is drive the tracks. If it's a track that I've driven in real life, it's easier than one that I haven't, to give my feedback on, you know, this crest actually is bigger in real life, or in this jump the peak is a bit more sharp, so it kicks the rear. It's, you know, a little small granular details like that I try to give, that and to be honest, yeah, the feedback that I need to give, it's very, you know, few and far between, because the team do such a good job of recreating the tracks. But yeah, I'll drive through and just make sure everything feels correct, and if I spot something that could be slightly improved, then that's the sort of feedback I give. But that's sort of how involved I am. But like I said, the pace notes is one of the bigger things. That's how I get involved with the tracks. But it's such a good job the team do, and you know, I'm really excited to see players tackle this location and have a lot of fun with it. I think it'll be something unique, like we said before, and a really fun experience.
This is where it's going to become very obvious that I'm a rally journalist and not a game journalist. I've got a sub question, and it's a bit nerdy rally wise if nothing else, but in terms of creating these pace notes, this fascinates me, right? So you've created the track, do you just take a car and literally drive as if it was a recce and then make notes? And then, like, how many attempts do you give? I guess it's not like real life where you're only given two. You want to get this perfect because everybody's got to play it, haven't you? So how, I think you know where I'm getting at this. How does that work? What do you do to actually create the notes? And when do you get to a point where you're actually satisfied with what you managed to do?
It's a good question because this game is slightly different process than what we've done in older or previous games. So I kind of had to find my way as I went along, and it ended up being a lot like real life where, you know, you'll drive the stage. So I'll record basically a video of the gameplay camera on the interior. So I normally use the dash cam and just drive the stage through, get a video, which is almost like a recce video, I guess you could say, but it's a bit higher speed than probably what you would do in real life, just to find the true nature of the road and bumps and what's actually a jump and stuff like that. So I'll use that video then to go through the track and implement each call individually on the spline, and then I'll do a second pass to basically make some finer adjustments like you would in real life also, and yeah, just sort of refine the pace notes as much as I can to make them detailed and also consistent. That's a really important part, to make sure that the corners are all comparable and the sort of the severity of the calls is spread evenly and all that sort of stuff. And yeah, I think it's something that I've had to figure out the process, but I'm really happy with the process that I have now. And yeah, it's something that I worked on a lot with the audio team to come up with this new tool that we use for implementing the pace notes, and a new way of triggering the pace notes based on the speed the car is traveling at. So that helps to sort of simulate how a co-driver would be, let's say, not as far ahead in a technical place, but in a high speed place, they'd be much further down the road. And then, yeah, it's just been a lot of feedback and you know, to and fro to sort of improve it along the way. And yeah, we've got a really good system now, so it's something that we're proud of. And yeah, it's like I said, a lot of work for me, but I love doing it because it's a fun part of the job where I get to make pace notes on, you know, virtual stages that are, you know, most of the time the same stages that I've driven in real life. And it's really, really cool. And definitely a fun part of the job.
What I'd love to see here, and I'm stitching you up potentially, but if there is, I don't think anybody knows, maybe you don't even know what you're doing in real life next year, but if you get to any of these stages that are replicated EA Sports WRC, could you just take the pace notes from the game and not bother with recce?
We could definitely give it a go. I'm pretty sure that I would get around with no issues. I'm pretty confident in saying that. So yeah, let's give it a go. It would be quite a unique video proposal, that, I think. Yeah,
it would. Yeah, so nobody steal that from me. I'm giving that to the world, but this is mine now. No one take it. But John, you actually completely unprompted ended up doing it a little bit earlier. But one of the things we wanted to talk about today as well is almost a little bit of a tips and tricks session from the master himself, obviously the professional rally driver and game designer. So a man that knows what it takes to be fast on stages, both in real life and in the virtual world. Given we're talking about CER as the brand new addition to EA Sports WRC, it makes sense to focus, I guess, on tarmac driving because, as well, this is a flippant comment potentially to make, but I suspect potentially there are more people that are actually quite, and it sounds counterproductive to people that are maybe in the UK like I am, because we don't really drive on gravel roads, but I think it's almost easier to find out how to be fast on gravel in a game. Specifically, I can't talk about real life obviously, but in a game, for me, it's almost easier to find the ways to be fast on gravel than tarmac, because it's easy to be there or thereabouts on tarmac, but finding that last extra percentage, that bit of bravery to take the risk in the bits you know are a little bit risky, that to me is really difficult. I might be alone in this. I don't know. I can't speak for a community, but I guess, John, first off, are the driving techniques you need in real life the exact same in the game for a tarmac stage?
Yeah, it's totally comparable. It gives you the same feedback and sensations that you would have in the real world. And of course, the tarmac handling was something that we really focused on for EA Sports WRC. Coming from Dirt Rally 2.0, it was one of our big elements to improve. So it's for sure a step closer to you know, that ultimate tarmac feeling. And when you drive in the Central European Rally, it's really fun for me, especially because it's a bumpy, jumpy tarmac rally, and that's what I grew up in Ireland, where you have bumpy tarmac. So I love when you on tarmac where you go over like a little skip in the road or a small jump and the car gets light and you sort of feel the rear sort of dance around a little bit, but you just keep the throttle absolutely pinned because you have the grip of the asphalt surface and the asphalt tire digging in, and also you know, super you know, low and stiff suspension setups on most modern rally cars as well. So the body, or let's say the weight transfer, is not as pronounced as on gravel. So yeah, it means that you can be very aggressive, but there's a limit to that. And when you start to overdrive, that's when you get into issues on tarmac. So it's all about, as I said earlier, having a very smooth approach with, well, let's focus on the steering wheel, which we talked about earlier. You know, you want to have small inputs, especially on the faster corners and in a straight line. You really don't want to be going from side to side at all, because you'll just get into what we call a tank slapper in the rally world, where your rear starts fishtailing all over the place, and unless you're very quick and able to recover from that situation, it often results in a spin. So the best way to eliminate that is to keep your steering very central on high speed and let's say less severe corners. And if you feel like you can't do that at the speed that you're going at, just reduce your speed slightly so that you're able to keep the car under control. And naturally, over time, you'll figure out how to increase your pace, but keep the steering in a similar low input sort of area. On the tighter corners, of course, you're going to be putting on a lot more steering lock. So it's fine to do that in the slower corners. You might get some understeer or oversteer, which is also fine in the slower corners, because you've got more time to react and to catch the slide. So that's totally fine. And in the medium corners, it's just trying to be really progressive with your steering. So turn into the corner, clip the apex, and then open the steering once you pass the apex, which is the tightest point of the corner, and then open the steering to the exit again. And the progressiveness and smoothness also is relevant for your throttle and your brake input. So
you don't want to be stabbing on it, do you?
No.
Yeah,
if you stab throttle, then you might get more, depends on what type of car you're using, but let's say with a four-wheel drive or a rear-wheel drive car, you're going to get more snap oversteer. But if you have a more progressive throttle input, you're going to limit that that snappiness at the rear. And then with a front-wheel drive car, if you smash the throttle too early, you might get a load or a bag full of understeer before you've made it around the corner. And then braking, of course, is very important to time your braking at the right point. I like to brake really quite heavily initially, and then trail brake as I go deeper into the corner and closer to the apex. So that allows you to figure out where the grip is, how far you can push it, and then, okay, with this method, sometimes you'll brake too early, but what you can do then is just come off the brake again and let it coast into the apex and then get on the throttle again. And that's a really popular, it's obviously popular in the racing world, but also in modern rally drivers, it's a very popular way to drive on tarmac, to increase, you know, how smooth you are and how much speed you carry through the corner.
Can I just cut across very quickly there? For those that maybe aren't aware, and I might be patronising some, I don't know, but for anybody who doesn't know what trail braking is, can you just briefly explain what that technique is?
Yeah, so what I was sort of pointing towards there is that you brake quite heavily initially going into the corner, and then once you've braked heavy, you're gradually reducing the braking input as you get closer to the start of the corner or the apex of the corner. So it's basically brake hard and then reduce or release the brake pedal as you go into the corner. Like I said, it's a very popular driving technique on tarmac. So it's something that I would recommend trying when you get your hands on it. And in terms of Central European Rally in general, like I said, it's a very fast, open location in areas. It's quite wide, which means you need to take a lot of racing lines through the corners to try and maximize your corner speed and maintain a good average speed through the stage. There's some tighter corners as well that you might need to use a quick nip of the handbrake. And then lots and lots of junctions, which... yeah, you have to be aware of that and listen to the co-driver calls when you hear a turn square right or a turn one right or turn hairpin left. The turn element of that means that it's a junction. So if you keep your ears out for that, if you hear that, then you know there's a junction coming up. So it's a place where you have to be extra aware so that you don't miss it or overshoot the junction. We see that a lot in real life where, you know, drivers overshoot junctions, and it can also happen in games. So it's a top tip. I think it's a really fun location. It's all about getting into a really good rhythm. Try to keep your average speed up and watch out for those sort of bumps and jumps that you'd be extra smooth over those. That's the main characteristics, I think, for being fast there, is just to have a real smooth approach and try to keep it your speed up as much as you can.
I can't lie, these bumps and jumps, the prospect of them both terrifies and excites me at the same time. I think with somebody at my skill level, it's probably more the terrified aspect of it to begin with.
Yeah.
To get my head around it. But yeah, you're right, it's not something that actually has been on a tarmac surface really in this game. So it's another thing that we're all going to have to get on top of. But just for the avoidance of any doubt, John, obviously this comes out on December the 14th, the location. What do players have to do to get their hands on it?
So it's a free update, which means all the players need to do is allow the game to update, and they'll have the location free to play. When they go into the game, they can play it through all a variety of game modes, from time trial to career to championship mode. It's very minimal work really to get in this new location, and all the players need to do is just allow for that update and they'll be good to go.
And a little birdie tells me that CER isn't the only new thing that's coming.
That is correct. We have Season 2 of Rally Pass coming up, and also Season 2 of Moments. And if we focus on Rally Pass, initially that's where you can earn new customizable items through the XP system to put some items on your driver. So we'll have a variety of new suits, helmets, gloves, and hats as well, I believe. So yeah, there's going to be some new exciting designs there, and also some liveries for the cars as well. Like I said, some exciting designs. I think some of them are really, really cool. So yeah, I know players always really want that sort of customizability. So yeah, we're really doing that with Rally Pass. And then on the moment side, of course, we touched upon it earlier that Luke beat me on my own moment.
Thanks for repeating that, John. I appreciate it. I do appreciate that.
We've only done it a few times, but yeah, you did beat me. So, but yeah, we have a bunch more coming. And when I say a bunch more, it is a lot. You have a new one every day. And to pick a few out of that I felt were quite interesting ones, we have a Cali Robinpera becoming world champion in 2022, which of course was in Oceania, or the real life one, which was New Zealand. So that's a moment where it's based around becoming the youngest world champion in the history of the WRC. So that's a really nice one. We've also got a Katsuda in Rally Japan in 2022, where he finished third on the podium on his home event. And I think that's a really interesting and cool moment to play through. And then with moments, we also have all of the more historical events as well. And we've got one that's based on Colin McRae winning the 1995 Rally New Zealand, which was
very good.
One of his most favourite events. Of course, that was the season that he was the world champion. So it's a nice event to put yourself in the shoes of a rally legend and go through one of the events that he won to become world champion. So. But there's a bunch more. I think the really cool thing is that we've got loads of variety in there of modern moments that are based on 2022, 2023 WRC. We've got historic ones that are based on all sorts of, older generation, like the 90s and early 2000s WRC events and drivers. And then we've got also some fictionalized ones as well, so there's a really good variety. And as I said at the top of the podcast, I personally really love playing through moments. I think it's a really nice way just to hop in and have a big variety of locations and car combinations to try with different weather. And you've also got the objectives to hit for each moment, and then you've got a leaderboard as well of individual moments that gets populated every time that another player plays through it. You'll then have be able to compare yourself against the best in the world. So definitely make sure to check out the new moments. I think there's going to be some really fun just ones that you can really get lost in, if that makes sense. Ones that just put you in the place of what it was like to be that driver.
You started adding some with multiple stages as well, which caught me out the other day. I was all proud of myself. I'd managed to survive one stage in Portugal with a Ford RS200, the Group B car. And then I was like, it said next stage? I was like, what? No, what's going on? And thankfully, I think I had a service break for the next two, but that caught me out. I was like, wow, we've got some concentrating to do, boys. That was dangerous.
Well, I think the majority of them are single stage, but we do have numerous moments that have multiple stages in them as well, which I think is nice, because if you want something that's a little bit longer, then you've got that option as well.
Very good. Well, John, I do appreciate your time, as always. I guess we'll all be seeing you on the leaderboards in CER, probably at a different end of the leaderboard to most of us, but we can all aspire to be at your level one day with plenty of practice. And actually, plenty of tips. He's given away a lot there, actually, I have to say. Whether we can all put it into practice is another thing altogether. But we've got no excuses now, John. You've given us a bit of a secret lesson into how to master this new event. So hopefully, you'll be challenged very quickly on the time trial boards.
I'm pretty sure I will. I'm under no illusion that I'm not the fastest in the game, that's for sure. There's some really fast drivers out there, so Yeah, I'll be the one trying to chase down their times. So yeah, I'm looking forward to giving it a go, and yeah, it's gonna be really, really interesting, and we can't wait to see it.
Well, thanks very much. Just to repeat as well, this game, if you are listening on the day the podcast comes out, is available on Thursday. If you're listening a bit later, it's probably available already to play now. So make sure you get stuck in and experience 32 kilometres of goodness on Central European Rally. Thank you for listening.